on the Star Reynolds Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Happy Wednesday, 4:03 on Softy and Dick. Headlines, as always, wait for it. Brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
So, news from the VMAC. Seahawks had their first official training camp practice today. Pete Carroll saying Quentin Dunbar should be at practice by Friday. Chris Carson missing camp to take care of some family stuff. According to Pete Carroll, Chris is okay, though. John Ursua had a false positive COVID test. He's back on the field today. That means, Dick, so far in camp, the Hawks have not had one player test positive for COVID-19.
NFL has lifted its moratorium on free agent tryouts, which means that players like Jadeveon Clowney, Everson Griffin, and others may now come to a team's facility to be evaluated.
Howard Mudd, sad news out of the NFL. The former Seahawk offensive line coach had two stints here in Seattle, as a matter of fact. One of the greatest offensive line coaches in the history of the NFL, passing away at the age of 78 after complications from a motorcycle accident 2 weeks ago.
Celtics had given head coach Brad Stevens a contract extension. The same done for our old friend Nate McMillan. Yeah. Gets a contract extension with the Indiana Pacers.
And news in baseball. The M's lose 4-2 last night. They're back at it again tonight, 6:05 in Arlington. Taijuan Walker versus Jordan Lyles. The M's will then have, for some reason, a day off in Texas and then go to Houston for three starting tomorrow at Minute Maid Park. So Kim Harmon, one of the many, many doctors on staff there over at UW, was on with us last segment. Had a lot to say about the virus, obviously. Says she thinks they're making the right call. But you asked there at the end, if your son was playing football, would you feel comfortable? And she said, yeah, because I know he'd be safe. So, look, obviously a lot of people are emotional right now. There's no question about that. And it sounds to me, it doesn't sound to me, it's obvious. I mean, she made the point that there's five schools in the Pac-12 that she says would have had to have been testing their players every single day. And you can insinuate, you can surmise where those schools are. Arizona, Southern California would be two places that would pop off the page. And UW was not one of those schools. They were testing their athletes three times a day. But she also, I think, made it perfectly clear a couple of times what all of this in the end is all about. Because I think, and I'm curious to get your take on this as well, Dick, that the doctors in Clemson and the doctors in Tuscaloosa and the doctors in Columbus, Ohio and Ann Arbor, Michigan and Seattle, Washington and Los Angeles, California, they all see the same data, right? We're all looking at the same thing. How you interpret that obviously is up to you, but how you interpret it also depends on your nature and your tolerance for risk. And did she not mention the words risk tolerance multiple times there during that conversation? That this comes down to one simple damn thing. Risk tolerance. Doctors on the West Coast versus doctors in the Southern states are not willing to have the same risk tolerance as of right now. That could change, obviously. But that's why the Big 12 is going ahead. It's why the ACC is going ahead. It's why the SEC is playing football. And it's why we are not. Because of one simple thing, two words, risk tolerance. End of story.
And part of the reason that risk tolerance is higher in other places is the pressure. We do not have to deal with as much fan pressure. We certainly don't have to deal with political pressure. Have you heard one politician in Pac-12 country step up and say, you need to play football? This is ridiculous. Where it's all over the place in Big 12 and SEC and ACC country.
Yeah,
so,
of course,
I mean, you have to deal with other things there that you don't have to deal with here. Now, that would lead me to believe that even though I'm not positive that the Pac-12 is making the right decision, at least the fact that I just stated that other doctors are working under pressure that we're not working under, that would at least lead me to believe that we're making a more rational decision. Because anytime you're pressured into something, you know, rational thinking kind of goes out the window sometimes.
Well, I just think that the fan base down there, I was on with our buddy Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa about 2 hours ago.
How's Ryan Fowler doing? Well, you all right? You okay down there?
they just think this is hogwash, right? This idea of not playing football is like not even being considered by a lot of people down there. Now, Ryan himself is a more rational thinking guy than most people, and he's got some concern, right, about the season not happening, but he feels it will take place, and he feels the SEC will go. So it's just foreign to people in those states to even think about canceling the college football season. And like I said earlier, like I said yesterday, man, we're going to find out, because I think even Dr. Kim Harmon there admitting, look, nobody knows where this whole thing is going to go. Nobody knows how serious this cardiac situation needs to be taken. We're obviously being cautious. We're being extremely extra apprehensive here because of the unknowns here. And, you know, we're going to find out. We're going to find out in 3 or 4 months if the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12 play, who made the right call. And I just think from a football, from a pure perception perspective, if those conferences go and they have relatively, decent times ahead with, you know, low virus numbers, low positive cases, nobody's in the hospital, no player deaths, I guess, would be one way to measure it. It sounds, you know, creepy, but that's one way to measure this. I mean, if they have a player die because of COVID-19 in one of those three conferences, then I think it might be pretty easy for some folks to come back and say that was a mistake to play college football. But if they get through this relatively unscathed and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten shut her down, Pac-12 is going to take some shots from people. And they're going to take more shots than the Big Ten will. Why? Because the Pac-12 already has a reputation of being a soft conference, and the Big Ten doesn't. So the Pac-12 is starting from a position that is really weak in the minds of people across the country. So if they don't do this, and they're not doing it, obviously, and the other conferences go, we're going to see in the end, Dick, we're going to find out in the next 3 to 4 months who made the right call. End of
story.
Now,
correct me if I'm wrong. We are not going to find out over what is now the off season, now until February. We're not going to find out how many Pac-12 athletes test positive for COVID, correct?
What do you mean? As far
as... Well, I'm assuming they're still going to do some sort of testing, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I would assume that we wouldn't necessarily find out because they're not playing games. Now, whereas
meaning
SEC,
they won't report it because there's
correct.
No need to? Is that what
correct.
You're saying? Oh, I don't know about that. I'll find out, but I'm not
that
sure.
That would be a good question because what I'm really, really interested in seeing is if the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 play, what is the prevalence of athletes contracting COVID who are playing versus those in the Big 10 and the Pac-12 that are not playing? Because if we have that data, then we will have an absolute 100% assessment on who made the right call and who didn't make the
right call. Well, it also depends on if those players are on campus. I mean, even if they are testing players on campus, some of these guys may go home and they may not get tested, right? You may never find out if they got the COVID. I mean, there's guys that will go home. There's guys that will stay. And if they stay, they obviously have a lot of considerations that they would not have if they go home. So, look, again, it's kind of a cop-out, but we're going to find out, right? We're going to find out. Just like we talked about the governors and different decisions across the country, we're going to find out who's doing the right thing here, right? And look, always err on the side of caution, but there's got to be other considerations as well. What does this mean economically? What does it mean for jobs, layoffs, other sports, things like that? As of right now, knock on wood, we'll see if this continues and hope that it does. I don't know of any program in the Pac-12 that is going to cut sports because of the decision that happened yesterday. We know people will lose their jobs. Hell, Mike Yam got let go today at the Pac-12 network because, let's face it, the Pac-12 has a network, Dick, that will go, what are we talking? We're talking almost a year.
From March 12
months.
Until at least February,
nine months,
any football or basketball.
Well, Dick, not just football or basketball, but nothing. No live sports, period.
Right.
This whole thing was shut down March the 12th. Is that right?
Yes.
And we're talking about the Pac-12 will not restart at the earliest until January 1st. Mm-hmm. So we're talking 9 months, 8.5, 9 months of nothing on that network. There is no point of even having the Pac-12 network on your plan because there's nothing to offer on that channel. So a lot of folks on that network are getting whacked, including Mike Gamble got fired today. So we'll see where this thing goes. Petros Papadakis, I'm telling you right now, is beyond jacked up.
I can't wait to hear this.
He is fired up. He is disappointed. He is angry. He's got opinions. He's going to share them with us next on Softy and Dick on 950 KJ.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Fox Sports 1's college football analyst, Petros Papadakis. Powered by the 520 Bar and Grill, where Bellevue goes for food, fun, and cocktails. Visit 520barandgrill.com. Now with Petros, here's Dave Softy Mueller.
They're losers.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. 422 on a Wednesday afternoon. Right here on 950 KJR. And all big thanks to the 520 Bar and Grill, Central Bar and Restaurant in Bellevue. Great takeout menu, social distancing seating. The patios are open for dinner tonight, so jump on the web, 520barandgrill.com, centralbarandrestaurant.com. But sometimes, guys, the best course of action is just to find the mechanical monkey, wind him up, and let him bang his cymbals for an hour. And I think that's what this situation calls for. The Pac-12 has canceled football for 2020. Petros Papadakis, your reaction?
Well, I can't say that I'm surprised. It happened pretty fast, and we all know, because we know the conference and we've been covering it for decades, that, and John Canzano told us, we all knew that the Pac-12 was not going to do anything without the Big Ten's permission, because God knows that they might show their own leadership and make their own bold decision to cancel or play, and both of them are very bold decisions, and I think we all recognize what a conundrum this is. But I just wish that our conference and our coast for football was not so goddamn toothless. And it is, unfortunately. All these other power, whether you think they should play or not, all these other power football programs who can't bear the thought of not playing, like the ones that are playing, your Alabamas, your Texases, your Oklahoma, your Clemsons, your Georgias, your LSUs, and the ones that are in jeopardy, like your Ohio States and your Nebraskas and your Iowas, Iowa, who just kicked USC's ass all over the Holiday Bowl, they're all saying, we're going to fight for these kids. We're going to fight for what we told them. We're going to fight to give them the opportunity to compete and to keep them safe and play a season. And even if there's no heart in it, USC just bent over. I mean, USC sent out some legalese statement, and Clay Helton's happy not to have to compete because that exposes him. It's another year for that guy to get paid and for them to all live in their utopia. It's sad, I feel like. But at the same time, Softy, I mean, we just interviewed Martin Jarmond. You know that guy, the new athletic director at UCLA. And they're all sticking to their guns, and it's going to be hard to argue with without looking like a bad guy, and we all get attacked on Twitter and stuff. But Martin Jarmond said, we care about the players. We told the players we have their best interest in mind. We have told the players we are looking out for you. Even if you don't know what's best for you, we know what's best for you, and this is what's best for you, and this is where our information has guided us. Now, I don't think Martin Jarmond would make the decision not to play. It was a chancellor's decision way above his head. But that's what they're going to say, and that's going to be their platform. But if there's the Big 12 playing, and we don't know, but it looks like they're going to play. I mean, regionally, people feel a lot differently in other places. The Big 12 is probably going to play. The SEC is going to play. The ACC is going to play. I even know a kid at Wake Forest and heard about their protocol, and it's really impressive. And what's that going to do to the Pac-12 standing by and watching the train go? I mean, it's almost like we've been doing that for a decade anyway. We're probably, right or wrong, going to emerge from this as a UC Davis kind of Mountain West type conference. And we were headed in that direction anyway under the wonderful leadership of Larry Scott, who couldn't lead a warm cup of piss into the toilet.
Wow. Petros Papadakis is with us. This is like a quote machine, by the way, the first 5 minutes of this conversation. Well, you know, what do you make of this, man? If the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC go and they get through this season relatively unscathed, what does that mean going forward in your mind for the perception of the Pac-12?
Well, I asked that to Martin Jarmond, and he said, well, that's not the question. And I said, well, frankly, that is the question. I just asked you that question. Could you answer it? You know, I'm not trying to beat up on the guy. He just showed up in town. But that is the question they're going to have to answer, because everybody and their mom, including Washington and Clemson and Alabama and Michigan and Ohio State, they all need Southern California, and they all recruit Southern California. And this is just further proof that if you want to play big-time football, whether you believe it's right or wrong during a pandemic, and you want to showcase yourself to the next level, and that's what all of these guys, almost to a man, want to do, then this is not the coast or conference to play football in. It's going to be a terrible hit for everybody, and they just don't have the answer. Now, I don't think they're rooting for everything to go wrong, but maybe kind of secretly when it comes to the SEC and ACC, they are. But Softy, I mean, there's a lot of people that said baseball could not do it outside of a bubble, right?
Right.
There's still those people. But baseball's doing it. Like, okay, if the Cardinals don't get a 60-game season, hey, F it. Who cares? If somebody doesn't play for a week, whatever. We keep on going. Eyes on the prize, like USC used to say when it meant something, fight on. I mean, Florida, Don Mattingly's got a bunch of players that he's never even met. They're going out there and winning Major League Baseball games. Okay, find a way to keep it going while mitigating risk and keeping people safe. They've proven that they're able to do it. And as far as the doctors and the information, if any of your idiot listeners tweet that to me, I'm going to block them. Because anybody can run out, like any football player knows, anybody can run out any doctor to tell you to do something or not to do something. And that doctor will have impressive credentials and be just as great of a doctor as the one telling you the exact opposite information. That's how we get guys onto the field. I mean, and I know this is different and there's a different level of risk involved for the virus in a lot of people's mind. But in the players' and coaches' minds, who are already out there riding the range of risk on a daily basis, I don't think it's going to register. And I think you're going to see a mass exodus from our conference, and you already have, because of what Larry Scott has done to us in the last decade and what USC has done, having so much turmoil on the inside, it has not been able to be nationally relevant. I mean, USC didn't even have a murmur like any of these other programs. I mean, they have no fight in them, and it's amazing, and it's one of the symptoms of why West Coast football, as I've been telling you for months and years, and long before there was a pandemic, is dying on the vine.
Are you a fan of a spring football schedule?
Well, I'm no health whistleblower. I'm really not, and I would never be that guy, but to me, just knowing football, not as a virologist or anything, playing back-to-back seasons with college football players who aren't being paid is, to me, more egregious than sending them out in the middle of this.
Hmm.
That is on a macro level. Now, there's always stories of, hey, this guy played in the World League 8 games, and then he played a 16-game NFL season plus playoffs and preseason. I mean, he's an Iron Man, and look what he created for himself. Like, those stories happen, but on a macro level with entire teams and the nature of this sport, which is not like, you know, the Gasol brothers playing international basketball in the summer for Spain or Antetokounmpo playing for Greece, and there's wear and tear there, but this is a different sport. This is a bludgeoning sport, and we don't pay these guys. To me, that's a bigger risk than making, like, if we tried to play spring and then turn it around and do what we normally do in the fall and have our season and our fanfare and what we're used to college football being and why we love it, I think that to me is what would be really, really unfair physically to the participants between the lines.
Yeah. Well, you got a situation now where the NCAA is allowing kids an extra year of eligibility. I don't think guys like Penei Sewell and Justin Fields in the Big Ten will take it. So if you are a player like that, you know, and somebody else comes to you in the Big 12, SEC, ACC, and says, hey, man, come play for us, win a national championship. Do you consider something like that? Should they be allowed to transfer and be eligible right away? Or do you say, you know what, the hell with it, I'm going to go get ready for the NFL draft?
You know, they're throwing a lot of rules out the window. And every guy, you know, a lot of high school guys nowadays will skip their senior year. Not a lot, but we see those stories. And of course, we all know about the early entries. So it always feels like guys are trying to speed their clock up one way or another. There is no question in my mind, and individuals are individuals, and I'm not saying, you know, Justin Fields could sit out and then he wouldn't be the same player a year later. But I think about Mike Williams, the old USC receiver. I think about Maurice Clarett, the running back at Ohio State. I think about a lot of guys I know that took a year off, not because of injury, but just because of circumstance of some kind. And it's not, even if you have the best people and the best trainers, you're just not developing like you should. You're not developing on time like you normally would be playing a normal season. So there is a risk involved. I think everybody, guy's got to make that decision for himself. As far as them changing the rules and allowing people to go places where they are playing, I mean, we're seeing it here in high school in Southern California. Big-time players in Southern California are transferring to places like Valdosta, Georgia, to be the starting quarterback so they can continue to develop. And there's no matter what level of football you're playing, if you're trying to get to the next level, there is nothing that you can simulate like live football reps and live football coaching after you've done those reps in a real game.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, if they're missing out on that, it is a risk.
Let me do one thing here, and before we do it, Petros, I want to remind you we are on live radio, so keep that in mind. I feel like I'm about to light a fuse here, so I wanted to make sure that was clear. I tweeted just a few minutes ago your quote about the conference and the coast being toothless when it comes to football, and your buddy Nick Munoz, you know Nick, wrote back on Twitter, "We should totally put amateur athletes at risk so everyone else can make millions. Makes total sense." How would you respond to Nick Munoz?
Well, I run into that. I don't know Nick Munoz. Am I supposed to?
No, not at all. Yeah, no.
Oh, okay. Does he have a blue check?
He does not. He can get one, though.
Yeah, and that's fine. You know, I made a comment the other night about the conference being toothless because they couldn't make a decision on their own. They had to wait for the Big Ten to do it. And somebody tweeted me, 160,000, you know, the shrill voice of 160,000 deaths and, you know, just trying to silence you with drama and trying to basically shut you down for having any idea beyond what they think their level of caring is. And look, nobody realizes that these guys are amateur athletes more than me. Nobody thinks that it's a fixable problem under the umbrella of the NCAA and Title IX. I don't know if that guy's ever heard me on your show or not before, but I feel pretty comfortable at my level of criticism of college football over the years, and I don't think I sound like a guy who's pissed off because he's not going to make his money in the fall. That's not why. I mean, I call football games to make money, yes, but I don't call football games like I do a radio show or like I'm a guest on your show. I do football games to highlight the guys that aren't getting paid and to give them the moment that they want, that their families want, and that they deserve between the lines. And I try my ass off to celebrate them, get their names right, tell their story, and have their absolute total best interest in mind when I'm calling a game. These guys should get paid. We've talked about that 1,000 ways. But currently, the deal is the deal to a man they all want to play. And I find it very interesting that in a sport that is literally ruining your body, no matter any way you slice it, and I know that a virus is different, but everybody suddenly knows what's best for all these guys in this moment without ever having cared before what they go through. It's always been glaring what a pig F college football is and how contradictory it is and how much of a conundrum we're involved in having higher education and this billion-dollar industry married to each other for like 100 years. Like, that's always been glaring to me from almost my first semester at Cal to the first time I got at SC, going through the transfer that I did. It's all ancient history, but to me, it was always clear what I was to them and what they were to me. Like, now that some people are just now starting to wake up and realize what a screwed up deal college football is, and they're going to suddenly point a finger at me and start shaming me, you could take that finger, use it, extend it, and shove it up your ass.
Petros Papadakis with us on the radio show. Good to finally hear you come out of your shell, by the way. We've been waiting for this for a long, long time, so I'm glad this day is finally here. But what does the future of this conference honestly look like in your mind? What does the future of Larry Scott look like in your mind before we go?
Well, Larry Scott has been paid more money than any other college commissioner in the history of conferences to literally ruin every step of the way our product as West Coast representatives of these universities in the Pac-12. That can't be overstated. I mean, it just can't. And people like Canzano and Wilner and even yourself probably cover it better than I do. But so he has to go. But the damage that he has done is irreparable. And we're not going to recover from it, especially if USC is going to be caught in the mire of not wanting to ever hire a real coach that's going to hold the rest of the conference accountable to what USC is supposed to be. So what really needs to happen in college football is the progressive stuff that we need to do today has to erase the progressive stuff of 40, 50 years ago, which is Title IX. They have to get out from under, it'll be glacial because we have, it's a $1 billion, $2 billion industry with no leadership, but we have to get out from the under the umbrella of Title IX and the NCAA and create more of a professional like, we'll create what's already there, which is just be more honest about the professional nature of what college football is. And anybody that's ever been inside it, and I've been inside it for 25 years now, that's obvious. I mean, it's totally obvious, but I guess you have to make it obvious to everybody else because everybody else, like Mr. Munoz, is a freaking dumbass.
Hey, Nick, I still love you. No matter what Petros thinks, I still love you. Before you go,
go swim with the whales of the Sound.
Yeah, the orcas. You think we'll see football played this fall? You think the SEC, Big 12, ACC, two of them, three of them, you think they go, honestly?
You know, it's amazing to me because, like, you're like me, like, and probably not as much because of where I go every year and now that I go in the Big 10 and the Big 12 a lot. But different parts of the country are really different from where we are. And they think very differently and they handle things very differently. And you might not like it or you might really like it. You might feel out of place there or you might feel out of place here on the West Coast. But there are more things in their heaven and earth that are dreamt of in our philosophy and vice versa. So never underestimate, you know, state by state, just how different things are. And I think because that's the case, and because you can make numbers figure and figure numbers, and you can give medical advice with the best of them that's completely contradictory of itself with experts right now, and we've seen it for months, that has nothing to do with football. You know, we've all been struggling with this information since March, some of us before that. I think we're going to see it. I don't know if I'll get to call it. I don't know if I'm high enough on the Fox totem pole to get to do a Big 12 game every week or every other week. But, I mean, it's not like I'm super comfortable traveling and doing stuff, but we all got to do what we got to do. So if the kids are going to play, I'm going to try to be there to call them.
I love you, man. Great stuff. We will talk in a week. And just don't forget that we may not have college football in the fall, but we'll always have each other.
41 yards!
Every Wednesday at 4:20 on the show.
I'm okay with them canceling football. But if you cancel football, don't let kids on campus either, and then don't charge them full price to do the Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay, just try not to build a huge building this year, colleges. Try not to fire everybody like a corporate a-hole. Dig into your savings and your endowment a little bit and batten down the hatches for these people.
Oh, Mike Yam. Mike Yam got whacked today. You see that?
Oh, yeah, just like the sports they cut at Stanford, just like all this. You know, I'm surprised, honestly. And I shouldn't say this because I work at a different network. I'm surprised the Pac-12 network can even plug into the wall and get on the edge. I mean, what a freaking sinking ship. I mean, that thing hit an iceberg before it even started.
Petros, you're the man. Great stuff. We'll talk in a week, pal. Love you. See ya.
Love you. Bye.
All right.
Bye,
Petros Papadakis is with us on the radio show. Wow. Man, did we need that. You know, if we can't have George Carlin to address the nation, I want Petros Papadakis' thoughts on the Pac-12 canceling football. We'll get a break. 49451, testimonials, your thoughts on what you just heard. The sermon that you just heard from Pastor Papadakis next, baby.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Yeah, I feel like a disclaimer is something that you play before an event takes place, not after an event takes place.
Too late.
But I feel like this would be appropriate for the last segment.
Unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting.
I
told you he was fired up, didn't I?
I appreciate his passion. I really do. And I'll tell you what, whether you agree with what Petros had to say or not.
Yeah.
There was so much passion there, and that passion is lacking
on
the West Coast.
No doubt.
When it comes to college football. I mean, I'm surprised that we can even keep our teams remotely close to those teams back east, because what we are seeing from this pandemic, it's just illustrating the different level of passion for college football here versus 3,000 miles
away. Well, and look, I mean, they may be in the wrong 3,000 miles away
Correct.
For taking the risk that they're
absolutely.
Taking. But
I'm
it
just
is,
saying,
it
the
is showing
is
the
totally
passion
different.
For college football
yes.
is not the same here as it is there. But we kind of already knew that, right? Did we know that already? Well, but we need more people like Petros on board. On the West Coast, to have that kind of enthusiasm for college football. And what I see from the Pac-12, and I really noticed this on the webinar yesterday, Dick, is a real just laissez-faire attitude.
It's a great word.
Towards the sport of football. And it bugs the heck out of me. I know it does you as well. All right, 49451, Coors Light text line. What do you got back there, crab cakes?
Why can't the UW join another conference for the year and play?
I know this, that the Big Ten has said if Nebraska takes off and goes and plays for somebody else, they can stay gone for good. They will never come back to the Big Ten. So, I mean, I guess you tell me. Is it worth it for UW? Well, maybe it is to go join the Big 12 and just stay there, huh?
You know, that's an interesting thought, because I believe that the UW will be part of the Pac/Big 12 in the next 10 years anyway.
Yes.
So
the Big Pac 18.
Why not be the first one to move? Not that I'm necessarily... You know, I'm not necessarily pushing them to do that, but it would show a certain level of commitment, that's for sure.
I
don't think the Pac-12 is going to survive as currently constituted anyway.
Where's the closest school to Seattle in the Big 12? Is it Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, probably.
Kansas, so we're talking, we're talking Oklahoma.
10,000 miles away.
Okay, so that's your closest game, right, as opposed to 300 miles away. I mean, that could be a bit problematic. What's next, Curtis?
Petros is self-serving.
Ooh.
No college football, no money.
Yeah.
If college players sign waivers like pros, no problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're exactly right, because Petros told me yesterday, he said, man, if they cancel the Pac-12, I don't get my check from Fox and FS1 during the week, I'm going to be living with you and Gina, moving up to the Dez to hang out with you guys. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, people think what they think, obviously. There's people that think that I'm pissed off that college football is not being played because of the money I would lose by not hosting Husky Game Day broadcasts.
Money do you get hosting Husky Game Day?
Well, I get paid. I get paid to work on Saturdays, for sure. But trust me, it's not going to let me retire. I mean, the money I make to do stuff on Saturdays for Washington football broadcasts is not exactly getting me closer to my dream of owning a condo in Maui and opening up a shave ice stand. Get out of here. I'm pissed off that college football is being canceled because I love college football. Why is that so hard for people to understand?
I just want to make sure that the right decision is made for the health of the kids, and I'm not sure it was. I really don't know it was, and I guess I don't understand the people that are using the, you know, are criticizing those like Petros, saying, well, you don't care about the health of the kids. I would simply ask them, how do you know the kids are safer now than they would have been had they played? You don't.
Well, I guess I would just say this. You know, do you honestly believe in your heart of hearts that people like me and people like you and people like Petros, really anybody in media that covers college football for a living, that we actually are okay going home, having our head hit the pillow, and saying to ourselves, we are willing to let college football players die so we can watch the Huskies? I mean, do you really believe that? Just ask yourself that.
I don't.
All right, ask yourself. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
To people in general. Do you really believe that? That I go to bed at night, that Dick goes to bed at night, that Petros goes to bed at night or in his hammock wherever he sleeps with his freaking, CPAP machine on.
Cave.
And he's okay with kids dying so that he can watch Pac-12 football. I mean, come on, guys. Really? Curtis, what's next?
Larry did what presidents told him to do.
Yeah.
Get max money.
Well, I think what the Pac-12 presidents do need is they need somebody who can influence them, right? They need somebody who's got a vision. They need somebody who's got some pull. They need somebody who can be taken seriously, that can be respected enough to follow his lead and not the opposite way. And I think a guy like Greg Sankey, for example, who's the commissioner of the SEC, is a guy that SEC presidents want to listen to. Why? Yes. Because Greg Sankey has continuously put the SEC in a position to succeed. Larry Scott has not. So I think Larry Scott right now is just a figurehead, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how much authority or pull he's got, period, in that conference.
I really thought that Larry Scott had an opportunity here with this crisis to save his job. And boy, oh boy, nothing that he has done has impressed me and led me to believe that he is going to save his job by how he's acted.
But to the texter's point, this is what the presidents want. Right? They might want an empty suit in that job. They might want a weekend at Bernie's in that spot. I'm telling you, they may not want somebody who's influencing them. I mean, I guess my question would be, why even bother having a commissioner?
Exactly.
Why not just have a 12-person committee and be done with it?
Board of directors.
Yeah, you're saving a crap load of money by doing that.
You're not paying $4 million a year.
Yeah, what's next?
When Petros said the Pac-12 network was a sinking ship before it even started almost made me fart while laughing. Make him Pac-12 president.
Oh, God. There's nothing better than farting while laughing, pal. It really is two of the most enjoyable things in life to happen simultaneously. Although, at my age, you got to be careful. You really do. That, you know, it may lead to something else, man. I just say this, that I think the Pac-12 network, the guys and gals that work there, God bless them. They do the best they can. But my God, outside of an Oregon State-Arizona game at 7:30 on a Saturday night, what do you hell tune to the Pac-12 network to watch anyway? Huh? It's like Root Sports. How often do you watch
Husky basketball
Dick,
games?
How often do you watch Root Sports outside of a baseball game?
Oh, it was funny. It was funny you mentioned that because I hit number 627 on my Comcast and the Mariners' first game this year, and I went, oh my God, I don't think I've been to this channel in like 10 months.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, the buttons don't even work anymore. It's been so damn long. So I think the Pac-12 network has a lot of problems. They never did replace Rick Neuheisel when he took off for CBS, and the lack of quality programming and programming that people want to watch is an issue. And I think really, honestly, and I love Yogi Roth and I love Ashley Adamson. I mean, heck, you know, they're doing what they're being told to do. They work for the conference, for God's sakes, but it's a propaganda network. That's exactly what it is. You want honest coverage and opinion and fair and balanced coverage of the Pac-12 conference. You're not going to watch the Pac-12 network. You're going to read John Wilner's column, for crying out loud. We're going to break.
You want to see coaches criticized every now and then.
4:58 is the time. Darren Pointer, former wide receiver at Washington State, came down with a coronavirus and had a real tough time. We're going to find out what that experience was all about, get his thoughts on the Pac-12 whacking football for the fall at 5:20 on Sophie.